This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
All right, all right, all right. There he is. How you doing, Ira? How you feeling?
Back from Detroit. Nice quick flight this morning. Early game last night. And still really trying to figure if the Heat actually won that game last night, considering what they had to do to beat the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, I got nervous when they had the lead. Hell, they had even a double-digit lead and everything. That was kind of disturbing, and they were able to just do enough to, you know, pull away at the end and get the victory. It's Ira, you know, I said this last week. I said, because, you know, we were kind of giving up on the Heat and giving up on the Panthers all year, the way they've played. And I said it last week. I think the Panthers now are finally healthy, and they actually look like a different team. The Heat, they look like the same team we've been seeing all year long. I think they are who we think they are. The Panthers may not be the team we thought they were this year, you know, throughout the year with the coach. I'm seeing better play out of that team now that they're healthy, Duclair and everybody's back, and Bob's actually playing well. With the Heat, it's the same old, man. It's a jack-in-the-box. You just don't know what the hell you're going to get from one night to another.
They're getting the wins. They've won 6 of 8. It's how they're getting the wins, one, that's concerning. But they've also had a softer part of the schedule and didn't maximize that. The loss to Orlando, games that they should have won. So you know what? Only 2 games this week. Knicks on Wednesday, Brooklyn on Saturday. We'll have a read, Big O, by Sunday, whether there is something tangible here. That Knicks game, we know what happened to them last time the Knicks were here when Julius Randle shot the ball from his hips, put the three-pointer in, desperation game in which Brunson missed the second half. So the Heat need to make a statement Wednesday for another reason. A week after, they go to New York and they play the Knicks on Wednesday. They have to show confidence. Then the game against Brooklyn is probably the last chance corral for the Heat to make a run at the number 6 seed and avoid the play-in. They're already down 2-0 to the Nets in the season series, but they're only 1 game behind in the standings. The Nets have 2 games against Cleveland coming up before they play the Heat, so the Heat can make a statement there. If the Heat are anywhere where they thought they would be or who they thought they would be, this is the week. By the time I talk to you next Monday in our Acura Pembroke Pines report, you might be saying, hey, Ira, you know what? The Heat finally made a stand. That's what we've seen with the Panthers. That Saturday game against the Devils, they could have capitulated when they were down 2-0.
I know.
Instead, they showed fortitude and resolve. You know what, Big O? It's now time for the Miami Heat to show fortitude and resolve.
Yeah, the only thing is, do they have what it takes to show the fortitude and resolve? Whereas the Panthers have it. They have the players that you need. I'm not sure if the Heat have what they need, unfortunately, because we've watched it throughout the year. This is not the kind of team that fits today's NBA. There's just too many two-point shooters on this team. I know they scored 130-something points the other night and all that, and they've been scoring a little better as of the last couple games, but it's what they've been. They're like a streaky team. They're inconsistent. I'm not exactly sure they have the pieces to be that we're asking them to do.
Well, I mean, you look at the Panthers and you say, okay, they have Barkov and they have Tkachuk. And the Heat, okay, they have Jimmy Butler and they have Bam Adebayo. It's the wild cards after that, and I'll give you the example. Bobrovsky, at several points this season, Big O, was not very good.
Yeah.
His save percentage was not very good. Now he's come around a little bit.
There is no Verhaeghe on the Miami Heat.
What I'm saying, but there is. My analogy I'm making with Bob is this. He was erratic. Tyler Hero, erratic player. Hell, erratic in the game itself on Sunday.
Yeah, but that's too different. I would compare Verhaeghe with Tyler, and it's not even close. It's not even close.
I would respectfully disagree based on what Tyler has done in fourth quarters. Because you know what? When games are on the line, he has the NBA's best plus minus in clutch minutes this season. The problem is the game is 4 quarters. You need something earlier so you don't get to those clutch minutes, which I understand. I believe the Heat have the requisite talent. It's just not been playing to that level. and probably our wild card is, and you saw it yesterday, Big O, in the fourth quarter, Kyle Lowry played all 12 fourth quarter minutes, really orchestrated at the end. Now he's turning 37 on Saturday. He's old in NBA years and any years.
Yeah.
But if he can give him some of that after taking that month off in February, there's still hope. Again, you and I can say what the Heat are or aren't. Let's let it play out. Play out against the Knicks. Play out against the Nets. We'll have our answer before the Heat head to Toronto next week.
How are they health-wise?
Everyone is there. Kevin Love, I mean, literally looked like he was a pro wrestler. You know how
That was a hell of a shot, dude.
When you're sweating and you start bleeding, it's like those wrestlers, you know, who cut themselves when they're sweating. It was all over the place there.
Yeah.
You know, he went in the locker room. He was fine. He was able to come out for the second half. If they needed him, he would have played. Texted his wife back home here that he was okay. He's a tough kid. He's a tough guy. He took the moment, but he was able to come back, so he's good to go. Cody Zeller had his nose surgery. I think he's good to go. And what you're seeing right now, Big O, and you and I have spoken about this on our Acura Pembroke Pines reports, who is trusted and who's not trusted? And I mentioned this in my blog today, my Winderman's View. Omar Yurtseven, not trusted. Played like 3 minutes in the beginning. Yeah. That was it. They are playing Haywood Highsmith ahead of him. Asked and answered there. Victor Oladipo, not trusted. Has sat out two of the last three games. When Kyle Lowry wasn't available, that's when he played. Yeah, you can't ride the Big O coaster anymore. You have to be consistent to the finish net line. So we're starting to see Duncan Robinson fell out of the rotation, nowhere to be seen, even when they're struggling. If nothing else, by the end of the season, we see who Coach Spo trusts. He trusts Caleb Martin. He trusts Tyler Hero in fourth quarters. He embraces Kyle Lowry's return in those minutes. Gabe Vincent, again, a little shaky. Max Strus, nothing in the fourth quarter. Barely made a difference in the late and fourth quarters in recent games. If nothing else, at least at the end of the season, we know who's in and we know who's out.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And with Lowry, I actually hit a big three, too, yesterday.
Four-point play. Made a four-point play in the fourth quarter there. He could step in and make big shots. He actually defended very well. But again, it was against the Detroit Pistons.
No, I know. It's a terrible team. It's a terrible team. Yeah. I get it.
Not only was it the Pistons with their bad record, but their best players weren't playing. Cade Cunningham, Bogdanovich. Right. So it was basically the Pistons' G League team that the Heat struggled. We have to have perspective. That's why, you know what? The Heat could lose these next four games. New York on Wednesday.
You keep pushing, you know, the, well, we'll see, and we'll see, and we'll see. Yeah. And it's like,
and Spo already saw, bro.
Does
also. What did Eric Spoelstra do when he walked in that media room at Little Caesars Arena yesterday? He told us, forget about everything to this point. We still have time. Big O.
That's Spo talk, yes. Man. Look, God bless him. Look, he is the real gem right now in that organization, in my eyes.
Absolutely.
Okay, the front office for me and the ownership, or you know, they got to straighten their stuff out and figure it out. I felt horrible for him because I believe it was this press conference, not the Bulls one, where he said to you guys, you know, I told my guys, this is going to be hard, and I've embraced how hard this is going to be, or the challenge of all of this, and to me, that's. You know, that's my problem with what's gone on with Spo. The poor guy, you're giving him a whole bunch of incomplete things, and he's got to try to make, you know, a beautiful meal out of this every single time, and he does the best he possibly can all the damn time. And I just wish that this organization went back to acquiring stars and not trying to unearth the hidden gem from somewhere that nobody drafted,
or a star in Kyle Lowry, but they got an overage star.
Yeah, that was never a star.
I don't. But they gave him Jimmy Butler, and they gave Spo
Butler. Butler's fine, yeah. You had to go get that other star, and that was never Lowry. I don't know why they would think it was a star, because I'm an idiot compared to Pat Riley and Chet and all those other people that know way more basketball than I ever will. And I knew Lowry was not a star at this point. Why would you bring him here? I don't get that part. I need to get back to acquiring, you know, the Posies and the Ray Allens and the Battiers. You know, get back to acquiring these kind of.
And they had that kind of run. And Big O, I think you'd even agree the Dragic acquisition was a gutsy, gritty player who helped push that team deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they had the run with Goran. They had the run with Jimmy. the Kyle thing set them a little bit sideways, and now Eric Spoelstra is absolutely having to mix and match. So look, he told us midseason in January, our time's still coming. He told us at the All-Star break, our time's still coming. Right. He told us at the March 1 buyout deadline, our time's still coming. Big O.
And I know he's saying, and he's saying that they're playing better too and all that other stuff.
Yes.
And I know he pulled this shit a couple years ago on us where he said, no, on the 31 and 10, no, they're playing better. You'll see. And then all of a sudden they started to play better and all that. And I get that he has this foresight about him that we don't see sometimes what he sees. But I don't know. I almost feel like his words after a game or his message to you guys or whatever, it's just kind of trying to keep feeding the monster and trying to keep it
hope alive.
Yeah, keep hope alive. Yeah, yeah. But when deep down inside, he kind of knows what we most know about.
He's going to go into that last game, April 9th, and going, oh, if we beat the Magic today, we'll still have a chance if teams X, Y, and Z lose later in the day.
That's him.
That's what this season's about. They keep pushing the bar out there until, you know what? All of a sudden, the bar's rolling in the street, the season's over, and you're going, yeah, we never quite got there.
Right, right. That's kind of what I fear that's going to end up happening. We'll see how it goes. All right, so health-wise, they're not too bad. It looks like they're going to have their guys going into it. You like the way what you're seeing now? You just kind of touched on it a little bit with the Oladipo stuff and with Duncan and all that. Is he kind of getting to the point where he's saying, well, these are the guys I'm going to go into the playoffs if we're in the playoffs and all that good stuff. These are the guys we're going in with. Is he getting to his playoff rotation now? Are we in that point of the season?
There's a couple of things that might change, but he's filtered out a lot of the silt already. We don't know when or if Kyle Lowry goes back in the starting lineup. Gabe Vincent's been very uneven lately, Big O. Yeah. But we also don't know, does Kyle Lowry have 30 minutes a night in him? Yesterday was fascinating. Kyle Lowry played 23 minutes, 12 of them in the fourth quarter. So do you save him for late and use a part-time starter? The other one is this Kevin Love thing. Spo so wants to try to make it work. And he just got here on February 20th. But might there be a point where he goes, you know what? Our best lineup all season was the one where Kyle was starting and Caleb was starting. Oh. And does he go back to that? That was their best lineup by the numbers, Big O.
Yeah, I get
they
it.
They have a positive net rating there.
It's, look, it's not Caleb's best numbers, but I get it. I get it. I understand. It's the big picture.
Is that net rating as good as the Bucks? No. As good as the Celtics? No. As good as the Sixers? No. That's why they try to do something. You know what, Big O? Just like you talked about the Panthers and the move they made, but you're not going to tell me they're better than the Bruins because you know they're not.
No, of course not.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Heat are better than the Celtics, better than the Sixers, better than the Bucks, and maybe not even better, than the Cavaliers or Knicks. You kind of realize after a while, that's what we do. We assess teams for a living.
Unfortunately.
Right now, I think the Heat's ultimate battle cry after the season will be, we're number six, because I think that's their ultimate upside.
All right, what are you working on so folks can check you out on the Sun Sentinel?
Well, supposed to try to push the whole March Madness narrative as far as he can to keep that hope alive and keep pushing them. So he was effusive after the game yesterday in Detroit. So I asked the players about it. They said, yeah, sort of, but the tournament, you lose one, you're done. That's the problem. Nothing is the major all-win-or-go-home game for the Heat. But I think these Knicks and the Brooklyn games coming up at home, remember, they only have three home games left, are as close as it comes to the Heat. So I think those are going to be really important games for the Heat this week to set up the remaining seven games of the season as I again sort of push that bar a little further out. So you have that going on. We're also talking about what Kyle Lowry's done, but mostly I wrote a story about Tyler Hero in the fourth quarter, and I love what Spo said. He said, now whenever I write notes to Tyler, I'm going to tell him it's the fourth quarter because he's such a different player. In the first three quarters, he takes those oh my God shots. In the fourth quarter, I mean, you got to give him credit. He is Dion Waiters 2.0 to an extent. He can be 3 of 12, but my God, he has as much confidence in that 13th shot as anyone. It's what Spoelstra calls irrational confidence. Tyler got himself some of that.
One more thing before I let you go around the NBA. John Morant, there's this story I read that the Grizzlies now want to leave after games right away so Ja doesn't go to strip clubs.
I'm going to keep the strip clubs part out, but a lot of teams have gotten these sports science doctors in who have told them, if you have a day off after a game, Go back to your hotel, get a good night's sleep. It's better for your body clock and fly the next day. Most teams have done that. But Big O, if your players are not going to go back and get a good night's sleep, you might as well drag them back home to Memphis or wherever you're going. So, yeah, that they realize they have a young, immature player, a young, immature team. If I'm one of the veterans on that team and I'm getting into a good sleep cycle because my sports scientist doctor tells me you're better off not leaving the city, kind of screws you up, but that's what you do. You sort of play to your stars and you realize you got to keep the kid out of trouble. And he was in a crap ton of trouble. He's eligible to come back tonight against Dallas, but will not play. He's gearing up his competition level, his conditioning level. But you know what? Memphis is right there in the top three in the West through all of this. So they've endured. Now we'll see who Ja Morant is when he comes back.
And you know what? Now that you mentioned about being immature, it's not just him. It's you said immature team. We got Dylan going back and forth with Klay Thompson and all that crap.
And the cameraman in Miami and some poor contractor who's trying to make a living, who works game-to-game paychecks. And just to shove the guy, believe me, I would be shocked if there's not a civil lawsuit coming there as well.
Okay, so Memphis is probably one of those teams that the front office is going to say, yeah, we need to infuse a couple of veterans into this locker room, right? That's probably what's going to happen. Not guys that necessarily have to take over in games or anything, but, you know, add a Udonis Haslem type to kind of police the locker room.
Well, they have one. They have Steven Adams, but he's been injured for a couple of months now. He's a really good teammate.
Yeah, but he's busy in commercials holding people up and, you know.
Hey, with that kind of man strength, I wouldn't get in his way, so he might not be the worst guy there. But Memphis has done that over the years also. But you know what? Hard market to get NBA veterans into. Yeah. They also want to live the life. The last guy who played in that market and endured probably was Nick Collison in Oklahoma City. You don't get a lot of grizzled NBA vets like Andre Iguodala, who refused to play in Memphis, if you remember, before he was traded for the Heat. Tough market, tough place to make a go of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's tough. But it looks like they're going to have to add some kind of, you know, leadership to that mix. All right, follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat and catch his exceptional work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, as always, thank you, my friend. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Red Recover.
RedRecover.com Inside the Paint Show. We'll have our hour-long Knicks pregame preview show. Looking forward to that with Kurt Heelan. Thanks, Big O.
Thank you. Thank you, Ira. Appreciate you immensely. There you go. And don't forget, well, we got a lot loaded of cars, brand new certified pre-owned vehicles. They even got one of those NSXs in there, bro. That thing is beautiful. That red NSX they've got in the showroom. And that new beautiful TSX, man, get your asses down to the ILX. I'm sorry. Get down there to 15601 Pines Boulevard, just off of I-75 in Pines. Check out the fleet of certified pre-owned vehicles and a service center led by Mike Chan and Jordan Ferber. They are the best in the business. That is Craig Zins, Acura of Pembroke Pines.
You've been listening to the Acura of Pembroke Pines Miami Heat and NBA Report with Ira Winderman. When you're looking for award-winning service and great deals from the number one volume Acura sales dealership in the Southeast United States, you go to Craig's Inn Acura of Pembroke Pines at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
All right, all right, all right. What you got, Sean?
All right, so remember earlier I talked about Matt Parrino. He had tweeted out about Trent Sherfield and his decision to go to Buffalo.
Yes.
Apparently, he heard all the rumblings going on because he tweeted that 2 hours ago, and then he replied right after, and he said, "This wasn't a shot at Tua, FYI." He said he wanted to return to Miami, and right. It seemed like the Dolphins moved in a different direction
right.
and wanted other guys to step up.
Right, of course.
No, because I still see people in chat saying, Trent said,
Yeah, well, because that's because those are people.
Josh Allen's elite QB is dead to me, so.
Those are anti-Tua people. That's all. So don't worry about it. Don't listen to any of that crap. Trent wanted to come back here. It's not a Tua thing. It's just the front office had Eric Azukama got drafted for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. It was going to cost somebody their jobs, and it was Trent Sherfield. I don't even know if Craig Kraft even makes the team because you added Berrios. So Azukama and Berrios will be taking over. Azukama as a receiver and Berrios as your returner, because I don't think Berrios will do that much as a wide receiver unless there's some injuries. Then maybe they'll elevate him a little bit more. But outside of that, I don't expect him to be a big player in the receiver side, but I expect Berrios to be your main returner. And Ezukama got drafted for a reason. And I like Ezukama. I think all of us like Ezukama, what we saw in the preseason. But he's a youngin'. Got to learn. That's all. You know, so relax. It's not – people freak out on all this kind of stuff. It's, they take it so personal. Big O, think of those 44 Ds as pontoons. Oh, can you land a commercial airplane with your training if the pilots are incapacitated? Probably not, dude. I think I told you that on the text. Probably not. I mean, dude, you're talking about, I'm 57. I did that when I was 18 years old. It's a long time ago. And to fly a Cessna to a jet, I would have no idea what to do if I sat there in one of those big-ass jets. So, no. Probably screw it up. I'll try, but it won't be pretty. They won because of a little in the fourth. Outside of that, the Heat should have lost that game and should have been swept by Detroit. I mean, it's just, I don't see anything in the Heat right now, unfortunately. I hate it. It sucks. Because the Heat are just so awesome, but they've got to, I'm talking about the organization. I just hope they all look in the mirror and, you know, get back to doing things the way they used to do it. Because right now, this is not the formula for real success. Daniel says, I feel like there's a chance that the Heat can give the Sixers or the Celtics a run for their money. I don't, Daniel. I'm sorry. I don't see that right now. I don't see that. Duncan stealing money. Yep. Spo is putting lipstick on a pig when he has to talk about the limitations of this team. Yep, he does. But Spo, you know, he'll never give up, man. You got to love the guy. He's awesome. Heat are barely even above the Nets without KD and Kyrie. I know it's bad. It's really bad. He made the Bulls this year look like they were the 90s or early 2010 Bulls. We can't sign everyone. Greer has to make his moves. That's right, Rosendo. You are correct, sir. So Panthers got it done against the Devils on Saturday, 4-2. They are back in action tonight against Detroit. Bob had 33 saves on Saturday. Verhaeghe and Montour had two assists, and by the way, Verhaeghe way ahead of Tyler. Sorry. You know, Ira, I wasn't going to get too much into with Ira on that one, but, you know. Verhaeghe was, like, one of the few guys in the playoffs that showed some balls. Like, he was awesome in the playoffs last year, and he's been awesome this year. Verhaeghe's a stud, dude. He has played awesome. Anyway, 7 o'clock tonight at Detroit. Taking on the Red Wings. It's a great win. The Devils are a hell of a team, dude. Hell of a team. That was a really good win on Saturday. I'm telling you, I think we gave up on the Panthers a little too soon here. I think the Panthers may have something. And in hockey, 8 can surprise 1. 7 can surprise 2. It happens all the damn time. In basketball, it's really, really rare to impossible, but happens everywhere else. And then college basketball, you guys know I'm not this guy who talks up college basketball. I'm not that impressed with college basketball, but hey, man, we got two of the local teams in it, so you got to watch it and root for it. I've been watching the FAU and the Miami games in the tournament, and FAU first beat Fairleigh Dickinson last night, 78-70. John L. Davis put on a show, dude. 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. That was just, that's a historic performance for that university. So they advanced to the Sweet 16, which is amazing. And then Miami beats Indiana, controls that game, wins 85-69. Isaiah Wong was awesome with 27 points. Jordan Miller was clutch, adding 19. Pack added 12. So they made it to the Sweet 16. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And they're fun to watch, I will say. A lot of speed on the court with those guards. They were just giving trouble to, and Isaiah played his ass off, dude. But it was fun to watch both. So Thursday, FAU takes on Tennessee. 9 o'clock on TBS, East Region at Madison Square Garden. So FAU at Madison Square Garden. Tennessee, by the way, is favored by 5 in this game. Over and under is 131. And then on Friday, University of Miami, the number 5 seed, will take on the number 1 seed, Houston. Houston is favored by 7. The over and under is 137. And they're at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, the Midwest Regional. Miami is plus 240 in the money line, and Houston is minus 285 on the money line. So you got that going on over the weekend. Bad news also was Inter Miami. They lost 2-0, man. Damn. Lost that one. I took Inter plus 1.5.
Did you react too quickly on their winning?
Huh?
Did you react too quickly on their winning?
Oh,
they jumped out too. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That was bad. That was bad. So, yeah, unfortunately, Inter lost 2-0 after not allowing a goal. They allowed 2 and couldn't score any. That sucked. So that's what happened this weekend. Devin says, Big O, I ain't going to lie. I had to Google FDU and see where that school was located. Fairleigh Dickinson. I've heard of Fairleigh Dickinson a ton over the years. Where is it at? I don't know either, by the way. Do you know where it's at? I have no idea either.
There's quite a few schools in that tournament that I'm looking at going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's college basketball nowadays. There's super parity now. That's why FAU and anybody can compete for the title. Because there just isn't any more dominant teams, no more stars. It's in New Jersey. Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, how do you feel about Goodell being signed to an extension next week? Goodell. Roger Goodell. Oh, whatever, bro.
In the team meeting, he'll probably get his extension signed next
week. Yeah, it doesn't matter, bro. That's the owner's puppet. So he works for the owners. We got no control over that. You know, years ago, I thought maybe the commissioner would be fair and working for both sides. But you see over the years that these commissioners work for the owners.
He knows where the bread is buttered.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So, yeah, I get it. No big deal. John Davis was a stud. Yeah, John L. Davis was awesome last night. Dude, he put on a freaking show. He was money. Those FAU and Hurricanes have been more awesome to watch than the Heat this year. Who would have thought? Yeah. Can't argue with that. Oh, and by the way, I did check during the break. Thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Or the Cash App. I appreciate it big time, Ernest. Thank you. All right. I saw both of them there. Thank you. Remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show for Cash App or Venmo. All right, give me 2 minutes. Let me take a break here. Rest of voice. Remember, Kader Kohou will be joining us at the top of the hour. So we will talk to the Dolphins cornerback live here from the Youth Fair when we come back. Got a couple things I want to talk about. One player in sports has a really interesting opinion of himself. Let's just put it that way. Back with more right here on the Big O Radio Show, live from the Youth Fair in Dade County. Be there, be there.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
Welton Rayom has more than 62 years of litigation experience handling insurance disputes. They're committed to resolving even the toughest insurance claims quickly. Call them for a free consultation. 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Property damage claims to your home, business, or condo as a result of a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help. Water, mold, fire, smoke damage. Welton Rayom can help. Call 954-966-4646.
For over 16 years, EJDConstruction.com has provided South Florida residents quality craftsmanship, accurate project management, and exceptional service. That's why EJDConstruction.com is an A-rated member of Angie's List and the Better Business Bureau. When you're looking for the right custom home builder for additions or home remodeling, please call my friend Eric at 305-433-4843. That's 305-433-4843 for EJDConstruction.com.
Welcome to Red Light Therapy, a revolutionary technology perfected by NASA to aid in muscle strengthening and recovery. Red and infrared light has the capacity to penetrate deep into the cell's mitochondria, potentially leading to increased energy, faster recovery, and the optimal performance your body demands. Train, fight, recover.
When you move, you need a reliable company led by passionate folks, eager to assist its customers during a transitional process that needs to be smooth. Call Essential Moving Experts at 844-368-5750 for all your local and long-distance moving needs. You can rely on Essential Moving Experts. Mention the Big O Show and get $150 off. Family-owned and operated, they offer free 30-day storage, full-service moving, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Moving was never so easy. EssentialMovingExperts.com. Statements or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group, Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. When it comes to South Florida sports teams, very few in the media have witnessed, lived, and covered it like the Big O. Let's start the program dedicated to your favorite South Florida teams with a passion that's unmatched. The Big O Radio Show is on. Here's the Big O.
All right. Welcome back. We take you till a little after 5 because Cater Kohu, Dolphins cornerback, will be joining us at the top of the hour. So we'll talk to the Dolphin cornerback. A lot of things to talk to him about, man. Looking forward to talking to Cater. I find him to be one of the most interesting cats that we've ever had on the Dolphins because it's such a great story to be able to practically fight to get out of his country. You got to win a lottery to get out, and to be blessed with the kind of ability to play a sport that is not popular there, not normal there, and to come to America and learn this game and then play at such a high level coming from Division II, it just says a lot about his mental and his, you know, physical makeup. You know what I mean? And we saw it all year. We saw how mature he is. We saw how tough he is. Man, one of the best tackling corners I have seen in a Dolphin uniform in a long time. Really. I mean, the kid is fearless. So it's going to be an interesting conversation talking to him and getting his thoughts on his play and the league and his experiences and Jalen Ramsey being added and all that kind of stuff. Good. Looking forward to that conversation with Cater Kohu, man. Let's see. What else do we have on the chat board? Big O, I got to see the Panthers game because it's on national TV. I live in Orlando. We get the logging. I would get it, but have to pay for the NHL Center Ice. Gotcha. Big O, will you follow the USFL? Very little, Willie. I just, you know, and you know what? I'm normally the guy that follows all those leagues to a T, but I got to say that this year I have not followed the USFL. It's the USFL with The Rock or XFL? XFL. And I know USFL is coming, and I probably it'll be the same thing. I found myself like this version of the XFL. I'm not really following it as much. I've watched very little of it. So I would imagine when the USFL rolls around, I'm also going to watch very little of it. We'll see. They've got to do more to get my attention, I guess. Do you think next year the NFL makes it? Nope, no 18-game season yet, Rosendo. That has not been talked about. I don't think that that's going to happen right away. I think there'll be several years from that. And it might be more about the next expansion when that happens. We'll see. Let's see. Rick Pitino got hired by St. John's. Yes, I saw St. John's. And somebody else was also looking at Pitino, but looked like St. John's had the inside track. I did not even see that he got hired already. Obviously, I've been on, so I haven't kept up with everything there. But, hey, and you know what? In today's college basketball, anybody can make it to the Final Four. Anybody can win a national title because there are no more dominant teams. So if you can put together a pretty decent team and you're a good coach, and Rick Pitino can put together a pretty decent team, and he's a hell of a coach, and he's kind of proven it now. Yeah, Pitino, that's going to be interesting. Even at his age now, the dude can still coach the hell out of it. I mean, listen, Larrañaga's not a young guy either. Larrañaga's in his 70s, and he does a phenomenal job. Can you coach or what? Or are you just dependent on McDonald's All-Americans? And Pitino has shown you that he's not necessarily dependent on McDonald's All-Americans. And he's done that since he was young, because you're not getting McDonald's All-Americans at Providence. Yeah. Let's see. Inter Miami straggling. Yes, they are. They are straggling. Bills signed Trent Sherfield to a one-year deal. Odell Beckham. So nobody knows what to believe on Odell Beckham. But one report has it where he wants $20 million a year. It's a little too much, a little too rich for me, says receiver Odell Beckham has yet to get an offer. He can't or won't refuse. He suggested on Saturday that he has received one or more offers in the range of $4 million. He made it clear he's not interested in that. So what will be attractive? Will it take 10 million? How about 15? Even the OBJ has bristled at the notion that he's looking for 20 million. That's the number that continues to make the rounds. Indeed, we've heard that he specifically cited that number when recently speaking to a player who could potentially be his next quarterback. Why would Beckham want 20 million per year? Why wouldn't he think he deserves it? Look at it this way. Does OBJ believe he's a top 15 receiver in the NFL? If he does, then he presumably wants 20 million a year. Since the 15th highest paid player, Brandon Cooks, has a deal that averages a payout of 19.8 million. And listen, man, I know Odell Beckham's super talented. I get all of that. But Odell Beckham has shown a ton of immaturity. He is constantly injured. So he is unreliable in the sense that, what is he now? Coming back from an injury, right? That's the reason why you can't really commit to the guy. Why would you give him $20 million a year? A guy that more often than not can't finish a season. That makes no sense whatsoever. It's not 1 or 2 years. We're talking about he's been in the league, what is it now, 7 years already at this point? And he's had a lot of injuries. There's a lot of examples. To give him $20 million or even 15, I get 10 because pretty good backups or, you know, decent players, they're getting 8, 10. I'm not telling you, you know, mediocre players, you got to be pretty decent to get 10, but this is a guy that does have that kind of skill set. Now, would I give him 15 or 20? No way. Because of the injury history. And if he wants 20, I got to think that he'll be waiting for the entire offseason to end and the regular season before his demands start coming down and then he has to take less to go somewhere else. $20 million a year for Odell Beckham? No, dude. There's no way I'm doing that. All right, what else do we have going on in the world of sports? Just seeing the Rick Allen story that we talked about on Friday. And you know, you saw that story about Lamar Jackson and the Patriots?
No, I heard there was a couple different teams that might be interested.
Right, right. And so Jeremy Fowler threw out that maybe the Patriots could be one of those teams that might be interested in Lamar Jackson. If that happens, that tells me that Belichick is at an incredibly desperate point if he does that. It's not a shot at Lamar. It's more a shot at him that he can't find a quarterback. And so that becomes a problem for him that he can't find one. So he did bring in Cam. So then he'll bring in a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson and try to create an offense around his skill sets. But it's interesting how they don't talk about other quarterbacks. And you figure they would. Now, do I think that the Patriots are going to pay two first-rounders and give Lamar Jackson a fully guaranteed contract that's worth $170 million? No. There's no way in hell that they would do something like that. That's not their MO. But if they somehow want to do it, and are doing it, then that tells me desperation has kicked in. Look, the money I've seen the Patriots spend in free agency the last couple of years, that tells me they're desperate. This is a team that didn't spend any money in free agency with Tom Brady. They just kept adding pieces and free agent pieces and free agent pieces around Tom Brady. They weren't really overhauling the offense or anything like that and using Tom Brady. No, no, no. Tom Brady was the offense. They didn't have to overhaul it. Just weird, dude, you know? And I don't see the fit with Lamar and Belichick. You know, I get it that maybe some people are talking about it, but that definitely would not be my choice. Mr. Bonafide, NFL history question. I've always heard how hard or how NFL people had such respect for Ken Anderson's playing Cincinnati. How do you feel about him playing under Bill Walsh and Forrest Gregg? Ken Anderson was a hell of a player, dude. I don't know if you're old enough to watch Ken Anderson. Not exactly sure why that's coming up, but yeah, he's a stud. I think it's more and more apparent that it was all about Brady. Only been a couple of years since he's been out so fully vetted yet. And I'll tell you what. The Brady thing is proving that he was the main cog in all of it. Is Belichick a great coach? Yes. Does he know defense? Yes. But he did find the ultimate eraser in Tom Brady, because he can't have any success without Tom Brady. None. There's no playoff success at all without Tom Brady. So if you're having at least some playoff success, then I'm saying, okay, props to you, dude. You know, you got rid of this quarterback and you brought in a new one and a new team and you're winning. And you're going to the playoffs and you're making an impact and all that kind of stuff. Eric Spoelstra doesn't need the big three. Hell, he got to the finals in the bubble. He got to one shot from the finals last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's not with the big three. And he finds a way, but he's a great coach. Belichick, without Brady, you can't have any. You're not getting to the playoffs and having any success. Yeah, that's a pretty fraud way to kind of look at things. Let's see. Lamar Jackson with Joe Judge and Bill O'Brien. What could go wrong? I hope that happens. I think the Ravens would match any offer the Patriots gave Lamar just so he doesn't go to New England. I don't think so. I think the Ravens are going to match it because they have no choice and they're committed to the guy. Unless it's something ridiculous. And again, I just don't see the Patriots spending crazy money, dude, because that's not who they are. Big O Panthers win tonight, and they are in a tie for seventh place. Let's hope so. Tua needs all the help to win, and there is nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs all the help to win, and there's nothing wrong with that. Whether you're Russell Wilson or you're Tom Brady or you're Dan Marino or whoever, you're going to need all the help possible in order to win. That's normal, ladies and gentlemen. That's not abnormal. Oh, I gotta give you a little piece of advice, okay? All right, where are we at here? Let me give you a little piece of advice from yesterday. And I want to make sure I get this right because I tweeted it out yesterday. And I just want to make sure that we got this correct. Where is it at here? Here it is. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. That movie that got the awards, I got to tell you something. I watched it yesterday with the wife. I was not impressed at all. I found it boring. I found it slow. I'm not going to tell you what it's about because I don't want to ruin it for any of you all out there. I know what the message is. I know what the little corny message was from her. And I get all of that. It just, it just went in all these directions, and it was confusing in a way at times. And it, you know, after a while, you kind of got, you know, at the beginning, it was kind of confusing, and then you kind of got the gist of what they were doing. And then this is the movie that Jamie Lee Curtis got the Oscar for. And she got it over Angela Bassett and Wakanda Forever. And I got to tell you something. I'm not the guy that talks about this stuff mostly because I don't see the top movies all the time. In fact, I usually watch these top movies like years later that I run into them and, you know, oh yeah, this was a movie that won an Oscar in, you know, in 2022 and 2019 and 2015. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And so I watched it, and I know that Jamie Lee got the Oscar. And I know a lot of people, because I keep up with social media, I saw that it was like people were livid about Jamie Lee Curtis getting the Oscar over Angela Bassett. And for some miracle now, because I saw it yesterday, I saw Wakanda Forever, and then I watched this movie also, and Jamie Lee Curtis's role wasn't very hard to do as an actress. It wasn't like Dustin Hoffman doing Tootsie, okay? It wasn't like this challenge, and I'm sorry, it didn't seem like it was that difficult to do that character that she did. And I thought the Angela Bassett role, you know, had a lot of emotion to it and all those things. I thought, and again, not Angela Bassett has several other movies that she has done a much better job of acting than the one she did in Wakanda Forever. Okay? And quite frankly, I think Angela Bassett is a much better actress than Jamie Lee Curtis. I got nothing against Jamie Lee Curtis. Okay? All the Halloween movies, and she's a scream queen and all that stuff, and watched her in Perfect with John Travolta. And, you know, I can't say that I've ever seen anything from her that I'm sitting there going, oh my God, this is Glenn Close. You know, I there's nothing, you know, Trading Places. Great rack, not necessarily an amazing acting job. You know what I'm saying? I've never looked at Jamie Lee Curtis as a great actress. You know, I look at her as an actress, solid actress, but not a great actress. And after watching that movie yesterday, her role was nothing. It wasn't really anything that challenging. I'm sorry, it didn't look like it. And I could see the outrage from people that felt that Angela Bassett should have gotten it, and that Jamie was given pretty much an award for, what's that called? For a Lifetime Achievement Award. So, and after watching it, I could understand the people that say that, yeah, they gave it to her because she's an older person at this point, and she's had a long career and all that, but yeah. But that movie ain't jack, dude. Like, I was not impressed. I don't know, some of you out there may love it and think it's a phenomenal movie, but I was not impressed. So, Big O, stupid chat moment. Outside of Marino and Tua, what QB would you have loved to see lead the Dolphins to a Super Bowl? Are you talking about a Dolphin that a player that played for the Dolphins, or just any other random quarterback out there? Another Dolphins quarterback? Out of the ones that have played? Only Don Strock. Maybe. Because I liked the Stroker, and he was a pretty good quarterback. But most of the other quarterbacks weren't good enough anyway. So, yeah. Earl Morrow also kind of deserved it in 72 to kind of finish the season, to be quite honest. Inter Miami would be undefeated still if they only played home games. They gave Brady Moss. What are we talking about? Tua has weapons. That's good. That's a good thing, people. Yeah, and they didn't even win the championship with Moss. Spooky Myers. I thought it was decent, but not equal to the hype. I guess you liked the movie. You thought it was decent. You want an Oscar for doing a comic book movie. Well, I don't care about what the movie is. I don't care if it's a comic book or a former book or play or real story or whatever. It's the acting, period. And I can't say that Jamie Lee's role is that difficult to play. Let's see. There's more drama in the Oscars than the actual films. That's true. Slapping, delivering the wrong trophy to somebody or award. Yeah. Remember, the Oscars are voted by the peers. Remember, it's an honor to win an Oscar. There has been great actors that have never won an Oscar. I agree, but I mean, if we're looking at the category, again, I normally cannot comment on this stuff because normally I don't see the movies, all of them. I may have seen one or something, but I don't know compared to all the other actors. This time around, I now have seen the movies, and I got to go Angela. I got to go Angela. It irks me that people vote on them and admit they don't watch all the nominees, sometimes for the most petty reasons. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Jay Curtis was a smoke show trading places. Yes, you're right. You are correct, sir. You are correct. All right, let's do it. Give me 30 seconds here. Quick 30-second break. When we come back, Cater Kohu, Dolphins cornerback, joins us right here on the Big O Radio Show live from the Youth Fair here in Miami.